that you've given us to hear from you. Thank you for the ability and the desire to praise you in such a powerful way and express ourselves, not being afraid, not being inhibited, making a joyful sound unto you, Lord God, and praise you not just with our hands and our voices, but with our bodies. So thank you. So speak, Lord, and we will listen. Speak, Lord, and we will follow your instructions. And all of God's wonderful people said, amen. Amen. Good to see you. I guess you got a workout a minute ago, right? I saw you over there, Desmond, to get you a little workout, man. We're going to continue our study on identity, in particular identity theft. And that's based in two areas, one in Genesis chapter 1 and also chapter 3, where Satan tempted Eve and Adam to eat of the tree, the forbidden fruit. But how Satan did it, he came to Eve initially, came to her first, and then she gave the food, the forbidden fruit, to her husband, Adam. And he questioned who she was. Has God said that if you eat of the fruit, you'd be like God? But she was already like God, based on two verses that confirmed it, the 26th verse, the first chapter of Genesis, and the 27th, 28th verse. God made man in his image, in the likeness of him. And this is an area that, especially we as Christians, you know, we understand those who don't know the Lord aren't putting God as a priority in their life. Really don't find the scriptures as valuable as a tool to help them grow and develop and be who that God has called them to be. But for us, the area of identity, it is key to all of life. Amen. How you identify, who you are. That's the question people are asking and trying to get an answer to in life. Who am I? Who am I? What is my purpose? What am I life about? And the challenge is that life begins even in the womb, with sometimes confusion. Maybe the mom and the father aren't getting along. The baby hears all that. Baby's born, and mom may feel, or maybe dad may feel, I really wasn't expecting to have a baby right now. They feel all that, and the decisions that grow out of that. And that impacts our lives. We don't always understand it. We don't add them up, these things in our lives, and this is why I feel the way I do. It's Satan is the one that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy our peace, our purpose, and our identity. Amen. Our identity in God. Right. See, God created every man, every woman, every human being to reflect his image. Amen. But if we're born outside of Christ, we don't know it. We can't get it. So we have to come into Christ. That's when we receive Christ, and now we can reflect his image. The problem is, if we don't learn about it specifically as Christians, we go out these doors and we act like the world does. Mm-hmm. And maybe we may not be, quote unquote, sinning and lying and stealing and stuff like that, but we may not have the confidence. We may not be tapping into the promises and the abilities of God to help us live this life more effectively. We may be carrying baggage from young years and then add it on to teenage years when a boyfriend, the guy said, I'll take you to the prom, he changed his mind, take somebody else. That pain. And then you may have a boyfriend in college or girlfriend in college, and that broke up. That didn't work out. Other things happen in our lives, divorce or loss of a job, or you didn't go pro. You know, whatever it may be, it adds on, and it's called a broken heart. And this is why Jesus came to heal the broken heart. It's everyone, every human being on earth experiences it. Normally we think of the term broken heart as like a love relationship broken. You know, no, it's beyond that. Jesus came to heal the broken heart. Amen. Disappointments, not being approved, not being accepted, not being loved. And yet God has something specifically to say about those areas of our life and more that reflects and defines our true identity. Say true identity. True identity. And so this is all about laying it out for you and also encouraging you to begin to take what I call the scripture medicine, begin to apply it to your life so we can let the real you out. I'm going to the side over here. So you can let the real you out. The real you is not running from responsibility.
All right.
It's not. When you read the parable of the talent and of the pound, when they were faithful with one, God gave them some more. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't a good thing, he wouldn't say, well done, my good and faithful servant. He would have said, let me give you a burden you can't handle. But if we don't think we can, for example, in the area of responsibility, be maybe a supervisor, a leader of the team, and you got a plan and so forth, be responsible for other people. When you don't know who you are, then you just say, nah, it's not for me. Why not? Why shouldn't you be a leader? Why shouldn't you be the supervisor or the department head? You're a good person. Plus, you'll treat people properly. When we don't do that as believers, we let folk who don't care about God, who want to use people, take advantage of them, they be the leader. They're eager to be the leader.
Wow.
Are you following me? But yet, when we don't know who we are, we just let things happen around us. And the thief, he's out to steal, kill, and destroy your potential and your purpose. So your identity is what keeps you all together to walk with God and fulfill your purpose in life. It's a key piece to everything that impacts your life. I've been fired, I think, twice in corporate America. Didn't like it. Didn't like being fired. But I decided not to let it be. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not happy for it, but it did not define me, oh
that's
God.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
See, and unless we understand who we are, and because I did at that time and still developing it further, when things, the disappointments in life, I don't let it define me. God don't see me as a loser or reject. He don't see me that way. But those thoughts come to our mind, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just this morning, I'm getting ready to come to church. Come to church, pastor the church. A bad thought came in my mind about a pastor friend of mine, about something he's doing. It's a good thing, but how I was viewing it, and I caught myself. Say, caught myself. I caught myself thinking in a way somewhat a little intimidated. And I'm thinking, no, that's not good. So I caught the thought and then said, no, I'm not going to think that way. He's a good person. I love him. I want to support him. And so I'm telling you that even me, other people, you have pastors have to deal with this stuff.
Yes, they do.
You know, a lot of pastors, because I know pastors really well, they walk in fear.
Yeah.
They're intimidated very easily on a regular basis. Now, what I did with my situation this morning, I said, no, that's you lying to me, devil.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm not going to view my good friend that way.
Amen. Good.
See, that's why I talk about what we got it from Dr. Karen Lilley, the Christian neuroscientist. You should think about what you're thinking about.
Yes. Amen.
See, if we're not thinking about what we're thinking about, some of those thoughts are taking you to your wrong place because it doesn't reflect the godly identity, who you are.
That's right.
Why should I? See, there's a book I've been reading, encouraging leaders to read, called Rooting for Rivals. And it talks about how you encourage other people. It's a Christian book, but it applies in any area of life. When you're intimidated, they may take my people, take my donors, come to your donor development or donor event. You kind of hold on to your stuff. You don't want to share because you're intimidated. They may take stuff from you. You have a scarcity mentality, not an abundant mentality.
Amen.
So if you don't see yourself and see God properly too, God has more than enough.
That's
so
right.
if they take, it's not them taking, they're just sharing what's available. But guess what? There's more out there for you.
Right.
Are you following me? So if you don't see yourself as God sees you, have a healthy identity, you're intimidated very easily. I'm not gonna let them know what I'm doing. Because they may go to their company or their restaurant. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But when you're free, you have a healthy identity, you can root for those, quote unquote, in the world's perspective, your rivals.
Yeah.
And you know what? Many of the world is getting it. I mean, I'm looking at how Apple not long ago had Oprah and Steven Spielberg coming together to collaborate. To compete with Netflix. Why do they get together who are technically rivals? Because we want to do better together.
Right.
How much more with a godly purpose we do better together and understand how? But that comes out of a healthy, biblically based identity. Say identity.
Identity.
Yeah. So it says here in Scripture, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy. I came that you may have life and have life more abundantly. God is about abundant life.
Amen.
In every area of that. Every area. Say every area.
Every area.
But Satan stole man's identity in the Garden of Eden. And ever since, Man has been trying to find himself apart from God. So they don't go to the scriptures. They let the world, the common culture. And guess what? The culture is always changing. I got some suits I was trying to get worked up and fixed and adjusted, you know, kind of baggy suits when it was in style. Even the tailor can't do nothing with it. You know what, man? They changed on me. Now it's more of a skinnier suit. Are you following me? Well, I don't want to wear no baggy suit right now. My point is that the world is always changing the identity for you. And if you let the world, I'm not saying don't keep up with the styles. I'm not knocking it per se. But too often, that's us. Our whole person is wrapped around that. That's the problem. And if we don't have a genuine, true identity on the inside, you can have a different style and so forth and still be who you are on the inside, because it comes out ultimately how you act and what you do on the outside.
Amen.
And how we handle setbacks, how we handle disappointments. You know, when God created man, he created man perfect, but then you have Adam and Eve, like we just discussed earlier, they messed up. There's no record of God was crying about it. Oh, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we made a mistake making man in our image. Oh, he didn't do that. You know what he did? He already had a plan. I'm going to send my son to redeem mankind. I mean, God is powerful. Guess what? He knew if you had a problem in your life, he knew he has a plan to get you out of that. It's called a way of escape. And a way up. Say a way up. But if we don't have a healthy identity of who we are, we won't look for a way out. We'll give up, and we'll be looking at why me? Why me? As opposed to let's overcome this. God showed me a way out. One of those times I got fired, my wife got a couple kids at a time. I got me at two. I'm not sure if Aaron was born then. And Linwood got fired from my computer company. Helped start the computer company, I get fired. That's the way it goes. So anyway, I don't have no job, and I'm thinking, I'm walking in front of my house in Linwood. I said, Lord, I'm a tither. That's what I said. That was. Lord, I'm trusting you. And I began to worship God in front of my driveway around 6 o'clock at night, about to turn dark. I'm worshiping God, reminding God of how great he is. I'm looking to you.
Amen.
It wasn't a week later.
Hallelujah.
I got four or five different bona fide job offers.
Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And the one I took was the best one I ever had in my life at that time.
Yeah.
I put my focus on him as my source.
That's
when your godly identity is not just who you are in Christ, but how you see God and who God is to you.
Yes.
Is he your helper? Is he your deliverer? Is he your protector? Is he your provider? How do you see God? We need to think about how we think about God. We can be religious about it, but how do you really think about it? Just think about it. How have you been thinking about God in relationship to you? And if it's not healthy and not good, then go to the scriptures and strengthen it. God says, I'm your helper when you need help, but I'm a single parent. He's your helper. But I was born poor, my mom don't have any money. He's your helper.
Right. Hallelujah.
Say, he's my helper.
He's my helper.
On your own, it's not in your notes, but reference and read it on your own in Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 23. But it talks about how the creation of God, all creation in the earth of God, is groaning, waiting for the appearance of the sons of God. And guess what? That's us.
That's right.
The animals are struggling. All creation, the plants are struggling. They're groaning. The Bible says they're groaning. Now, you don't hear them groaning, except when you see fires that shouldn't be having these big blazes and turn up people's homes and stuff. That's a groaning in the earth. And it's waiting for the sons of God to appear. That's in the Bible.
Amen.
We should be bold and problem solvers as opposed to, oh, hope it don't happen to me. And the animals and the earth, the Bible says the earth is groaning, waiting for the revelation and the appearing of the sons of God.
Yeah.
And then it goes on further, it says, but even we, people, are groaning too, waiting for the full redemption of our bodies. That's why a sickness and disease and physical limitation is such a negative thing.
Yeah.
Our bodies are crying out. It may not talk to you in your native language, but all the pain is saying, it's not supposed to be this way.
That's right.
Not supposed to be this way. That's why Jesus came to heal.
That's right. By his stripes.
But if we don't believe in healing and miracles, guess who suffers? The body.
The body. That's right.
This menacing to you?
Yeah.
So read it on your own. Like Jesus, we must find ourselves in the scriptures. Say in the scriptures.
In the scriptures.
Which reveals who God created man to be. Only your creator knows the purpose for which you were born. Much of the identity crisis, say identity crisis, people face is due to the trauma experienced in life, leaving us broken in our heart. And this is why Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, I've come to heal the broken heart. And my heart's been broken. It may get broken again, but he's there to heal it.
Amen.
See, through disappointment, let down, broken promises by people. You were trusting they're going to come through, and they say, well, that's okay. We got to change the plans. Or they just kind of put you off. It seems like it even feel like it's more worse. They don't answer your telephone call no more. What's up with this? If you're not careful, your mind will go there.
Yes.
You'll be angry. You may want to sue. You promised. I made an investment. I quit my job. And then you get all caught up and forget about your identity. And part of your identity is God is your helper. God is your deliverer. I mean, get you out of a tough spot.
Amen.
If we don't keep that clear in our thinking and in our heart, then we just like most men in the earth, miserable.
Right.
And that is not who you created to be. Yeah. Not in Christ. So we have to remind ourselves through the scriptures. Say the scriptures.
Scriptures.
Let me give you an example. I was reading some news report last week. This is on from the BBC news report, October 14th, and it's about Elton John. And he's a very popular singer. Many of you, I'm sure, are aware of him. One of the most celebrated singers, entertainers. His songs are the fifth largest in terms of a number of songs played and sung by people and heard. And the article said this: I still want my dad's approval. And reading the article, and his dad been dead for 30 years. I still want my dad's approval. And he went and go on that his dad never came to any of his events when he was doing, you know, dancing or singing or whatever he did, creative arts, when he was a young boy. Never came, never wrote a note of approval, never said anything positive about what he was doing. See, that's the broken heart we're talking about. Now, I'm giving that example because it's very public. You look it up on Google on your own if you like. My point is this. It happens to you. It happens to me.
Right.
And we can walk around in life and we're picking up more pieces of broken heart. Okay. Or a new hairdo. No, I don't do it. A new outfit. No, I don't do it. It won't heal the heart.
Right.
Make it feel good for a moment. Won't heal the heart. Give me a new girlfriend. No, I don't do it either.
Wow.
More money, more stuff. That don't do it. Say,
heal the broken heart.
So people are dealing with an identity crisis, my friend. We all are. And the way to address it is to heal, get your heart healed by the scriptures and accept God's identity of who you are in Christ.
Amen.
I call it your scripture medicine. Say scripture medicine. The scripture is your identity medicine to restore and protect you from future identity theft. Because then you realize, that's you lying to me, devil. I'm not going to fall for that lie. You talking to me. See, when you hear these voices and these thoughts, don't accept them as all from, you know, you should be listening to and obeying. A lot of those thoughts are from the devil.
Yeah.
It's not healthy. But we accept it because we think, well, I'm thinking it. And let it go down further, now you're feeling it. Now you're feeling it, now you're doing it.
Yeah.
And then oftentimes it turns out not good.
Amen.
If we caught it in the embryo stage, in our thinking and examining what God said, yeah, and how he views us, I won't be easily offended.
Amen.
So you have to work at this. Yeah. Doesn't mean you've arrived, you're perfect, but you can get better and better over time. Amen. You will be offended. Folk are going to offend you. Circumstances are going to offend you. And if you take the bait, it'll wreck up your life.
Yeah. Amen.
And a healthy identity says, well, that's not what I like. I don't like what you said, what you did, how you treated me. But you know what? That's how I do it. One monkey don't stop no show. Okay, you know. I'm going to move on. I don't have to hate them to love me. Okay, I'm going to say it again. I don't have to hate them to love me. Too often, that's the dynamic. To love me, I got to hate them. No, I need to love them. Bible said, love your enemies. Bless them. Bless me. Yeah, bless them. Because they need help too. They're also trapped in an identity crisis. If you understand the human nature and the human situation, that's what every human being is dealing with, and it plays out different ways. At the end of it, it brings death and destruction, and you lose every time. Devil is a thief.
Yes, he is.
Amen?
Amen.
And so we just need to just grow in this area, and it's not like an indictment. It's just realize all of us need to do it, or else it's kind of bounce around in life, and then all of a sudden we get older, and nobody's visiting us, even our kids. Because we got attitude, and it piles up. Amen?
Amen?
Let me give you a couple of scriptures here. First one is 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, speaking of Jesus, he sinned for us, on the cross he died, who knew no sin, that we, that's you and I, and anybody who's reading that as a believer in Christ, that we might be made, the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. So our confessions could be, in Christ, I am made righteous, therefore I live like I am. Say that with me again. In Christ, I am made righteous, therefore I live like I am. Say it again, please. Now, put it in context. If you have, like me, had a checkered history of sleeping around and treating folk wrong and telling them I love you, and then I really don't love them. But I'm saying that to get over on the lady. And now I come to God, come to Christ, and those Satan brings those memories. I mean, I can still hear that. I can think of that. And then if I'm not careful, I start feeling guilty and bad and shameful, and the Bible just told me I am righteous in him. Say, I'm righteous.
I am righteous.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You got to become comfortable saying that, especially if you had a past that really has a lot of stuff. Maybe you killed somebody, maybe you get some bad drugs, you know, and they OD'd, messed up their life. Whatever it may be. You know, embarrassment issues. You are the righteousness of God in Christ.
Yes.
Say, I am.
I am.
The righteousness of God.
The righteousness of God.
In Christ.
In Christ.
Now, when I first got this in 1973, when I got saved, I started saying it over my life on a daily basis. Because they had to go, it can't be surface, can't be a nice sermon. Yeah, I think Bishop Bess preached a sermon on identity about 3 years ago. It got to be in your life on an ongoing basis. You're strengthening your identity in Christ.
Amen.
Another one. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, that's in me and in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's working stuff out in your life. He is still working it out, and he's going to get it done, y'all.
Amen.
Say, he's going to get it done.
He's going to get it done.
So your confession ought to be, my God will complete the good work he has begun in me. See, because sometimes Satan keeps putting things off and you get an idea, maybe it's not going to come in my lifetime and so forth. No, God's going to complete what he started in my life.
Amen.
You got to believe that.
Amen.
How can you? You got to keep putting in your heart. It finally gets into your in your heart. Okay, I got it, God. Amen. I got it, God. My mom, in her early or mid-70s, went back to college after her kids got grown. In fact, I moved in the dorms at UC Riverside. Her roommate was about as old as, was probably younger than me. She decided to go back and get her degree. It was difficult for her. But she, that was her. See, God, I got my kids out of the house. They raised. You're going to complete what you started. Amen. And don't we see from time to time on the news, people who are older going back and finishing their desires? What about you? I'm too old, according to whose calendar? Whose mind? That's not the mind that Christ says that.
Amen.
If God put it in your heart, you can do it. Amen? May it take a little longer, whatever it may take, but you can pursue the purposes of God in your life. That's what I'm getting at.
Yes.
And it's an identity when we don't. It's an identity problem. Mm-hmm. You can't blame it on God. You're not going to get to heaven. Jesus, you know what? Why you let this happen to me? No, you didn't believe about you what I saw in you. That's what he's going to say. You didn't believe that you have the mind of Christ. You didn't embrace it and walk in it. You didn't believe that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You thought the whole world is kind of overcoming you. No, you are a world overcomer by definition, being in me.
Yes.
But we got to get into it and believe it and walk in it.
Yes.
And embrace it. Amen?
Yes.
Because we all will face challenges. Both my hand goes up, my friend. We're all going to face challenges.
Yep.
So my mentality is, bring it on, devil. See, when you start getting used to overcoming, it becomes more confident. Oh, we're going, oh, come on.
All right.
Now you're ready. When you're not used to having victory in your life and overcome challenges, you run.
Well,
you hide.
Mm-hmm.
Let God talk to us. So don't feel bad if you've been hiding and running. Just fix it. Say fix it.
Fix it.
And get a biblical identity of yourself. And it's not too late.
Amen.
No matter how old you are, you can say, you know what? I'm going to beef up on the medicine scriptures and heal my heart. I'm going to be who God called me to be. There's a scripture that talks about how not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, okay? And some folks stop there. They get stuck. Well, see, you can't think too high. He didn't say don't think too high. Don't think more highly than you ought to think.
Right.
Then another passage says, think according to what's written. Yeah. So I don't want to go too high either. I don't want to be higher than what I should think, but I don't want to be too low neither.
Right.
So I just find out what is written about me.
Yeah.
I'm going to think that.
That's it.
And that happens to be high in God's mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to go higher, but I'm not going to go lower. But if I don't know where I should be thinking about me, more often than not, by the circumstances of life, I'm going to be lower than higher.
All right. Yeah. Good word.
This is the word for all of us, my friend. And remind ourselves how important our identity and how it drives everything in our lives. Amen. I want that management job, sir. Well, you know, you just got here. Well, you know, I want to have that job like that. What does it take? Just having conversations like that.
Yeah.
Well, normally it requires a degree, but I like your spunk. You know what? I'm going to give you a shot at it.
Yeah.
All you said, I want that job.
Yeah.
But normally it requires a degree, but I like your spunk. I'll give you a shot at it. I'll train you in-house. That happens all the time in the world when folk have a confidence of who they are.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
Another one, final one. This is Romans 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be what? Saved. Notice, confess with your mouth the Lord. Say the Lord. That's important. We'll come back to that in a moment. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, say the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Notice heart, believe in the heart, and say with your mouth. Confession means to say the same thing.
Yep.
It means to agree and say the same thing. This is huge. Now, we tend to think it's confessing your sin. Well, if you sin, yeah, I sin it. You call me sinning, I sin, God. Yes, I did that. I agree with you. That's what confession is. But also confess good stuff.
Yeah.
You agree with God.
Yeah.
And so what's happening here, you're confessing the lordship of Christ. He's now your Lord. And it wasn't until this last Bible study, last week, I'm studying and talking about who we are in Christ, and then it hit me. I changed lords. I knew it intellectually, but it finally hit me in a real new, deeper way. I went from the lordship of the devil to the lordship of God.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. And a lord is the owner.
Yes.
He provides.
Yes.
He takes care. He's the go-to person
yes.
when you need something.
Yes.
Mr. Johnny owns the house you're living in, apartment. The sink is not working right. The faucet not is leaking. He has to fix it.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Toilet's not working. He has to, or she has to what? Fix it.
Amen.
They're the what? Lord. So now Satan, we were slaves to him. Accepting Christ, I believe in my heart, and say it, it requires both believing and speaking.
Amen.
I change lords.
Yes.
So we should say this about ourselves. I believe and confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Say that out loud with me, please.
I believe and confess
that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. One more time. When you understand that, devil, I'm no longer a slave to you. I know maybe a little temptation in my flesh, but my spirit is stronger than that. And I'm saying no.
Amen.
Not going to do that.
Good word.
Not going down that road.
Good word.
I see a higher vision.
Yes.
I see a higher purpose.
Amen.
I don't want any setbacks in my life.
All right.
I don't want to be a disrespected by my children, by the church, the people that know me. And more importantly, I don't want to disappoint God.
Amen.
So I say no.
No.
Right. I say no.
No.
I would like to ask my good friend David Koberland to come forward and share. He's also one of our Awakened life coach trainers. He's the master trainer. And he shared this at other churches, and I thought you ought to share it here at Zoe since you're in town about how, and it's going to be powerful, how important identity is in your life. Let's receive David Koberland.
Thank you. It is fantastic to be here. For almost 40 years, I have been following Jesus. I've been a pastor. I've been a pastor for 30. And I know many of you are thinking, were you ordained when you were 10? Okay, I know you weren't thinking that. I've had the privilege of pastoring in a number of different states, also in nations. My wife and I planted a church in Moscow, Russia in 1992.
Amen.
It just celebrated its 26th anniversary.
Woo!
Yeah. And it loves visitors. I was thinking, you guys, some people go, Moscow, ooh, I couldn't go to Moscow. Now, Moscow's kind of like Los Angeles, just with a Russian accent. Guys would fit in well, and you're all invited. I mention that because in that 40 years, I've been able to be in a lot of different opportunities and exposed to hundreds and hundreds of different ministries. You guys have one of the best here. I mean that. What he talks about, he and First Lady, their willingness to collaborate, their willingness to give. He's one of the most giving people I've ever met. And I've, like I said, and that's not a common characteristic, sadly, in a lot of ministry. So I want to honor that because as we've worked together in Awaken, he has welcomed my giftings. He has welcomed my input, my ideas, the way to do things in a way that is rarely done. And it's been a privilege and a pleasure. And we love what's taking place there. So it's fantastic. It really is, and it's nice to see a lot of Awakened coaches here. How many of you know what this is? That is a driver's license. Another word for it is an ID. It's an identity. It's supposed to say who we are. You want to know if you tell the truth about your identity? Read the weight that you listed. Or in my case, the hair color. When I was younger, too, before I gave my life to the Lord, I enjoyed and made alcohol a big part of my identity. And before I was 21, you know what I had to have to get it? A fake ID.
Wow.
A fake ID. And what I'm finding is that, sadly, many Christians are walking around with a fake ID.
Wow.
Because they've let the enemy steal their true identity. They've let him lie to us about who we really are. And that impacts everything that we do and who we are. In fact, this illustration is, it's a good one. It's a visual one. This is you. This is you. You are a cup. You're a receptor. You're a vessel. This is your identity. Whatever it is that you believe you are at the core of your being, whatever it is, this is what you see yourself as up here. This is it. It's what you pour into your life. It's what you believe. It's your influences. It's all the things you allow to impact and affect you. And so what it is you say, oh, I'm going to pour this into myself. And I'm going to keep pouring what I watch, what I read, what I think about. And it just pours until that happens. And it overflows. And it makes a mess. It makes a mess. And depending on what your identity is, that mess can do either awesome things or horrible things. If that identity is the identity that Bishop is talking about in Christ, who you are and what you think about him, you make a Jesus mess. And that Jesus mess heals people. That Jesus mess sets people free. That Jesus mess establishes them and helps them become who they were created to be. But if it's not, it can cause real pain.
Yeah.
If it's in my job and it flows over, it's going to hurt your family because your job's the most important thing. If it's relationships and who I'm hanging with, it's going to hurt people.
Yeah.
Because it's not sourced where it needs to be.
Amen.
This ladder, and for those of you that have gone through Awaken, you recognize this ladder. This is the ladder of life. This is present in all of our lives all of the time. Every level of this ladder is present. And here's how identity impacts it, because what happens is this flows down. So if you'd imagine I had this glass on this level and I poured it, it would pour out and flow down. And that's exactly what happens with your identity. That's why you need to get it right. Mission, vision, God's purpose and plan, that's what he has planned for you. Your identity, who you are. You need to get that. You need to understand it because it will flow down then and affect your values and beliefs. Why you believe things are important in life is sourced and flows out of your identity. And then your skills and capabilities, how you do what you do, are sourced in this. If you believe that business is the most important thing, you're going to invest in all your business things. You're going to spend all the time at the office. You're going to do all those things. If you believe Jesus is, you're going to be in the Word of God. You're going to be studying that. You're going to be worshiping. You're going to be stepping into your identity in Him. And then that's going to come into your behaviors, what you say and what you do. I love what Bishop was talking about, because that stepping into who we are, because I am the righteousness of Christ. Most of the time, we struggle because we think, oh, if I can just do it good enough. If I'm just good enough, then I can be considered righteous. And that's totally not it. I have been made righteous. It is done. It is finished. It is in me. Because of that, now I simply live it. It flows from my identity. And it impacts into my environment. And I change my environment. When you walk in someplace, the environment should change.
Yes.
Because the Holy Spirit just showed up.
Yes. Right.
And that living water that Jesus promised,
yes,
in the person of the Holy Spirit flows out of you.
Amen.
And it makes an incredibly godly mess that this world desperately needs,
yes,
to have happen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Could you bow your heads, please? Bow your heads and believers pray softly. We'll be finished in a couple minutes. If you can, just hold off.